It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man in the community. Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, ha!
Tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 29. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell him what's up.
Freedom or death, ye shall all be moved. Vainglorious, this is protected by the red,
the black, and the green.
With the key.
Sissy! What's good, man?
Oh, man, it is all good.
It is.
We hope you enjoyed the CFB hit last week. We enjoyed making it more than you know. and we're going to have another one for you this week.
Yeah, SEC.
We're going to hit you up with another one and another one and another one.
Just like the other one.
That's right. And this week we're going to talk about the SEC, but that's not what we're going to start with.
That's right.
No. I called to talk about the boo.
You did call to talk about the boo.
And as predicted on It's That Podcast episode, I believe, 27.
Yeah.
Bulls signed Jabari Parker.
They did.
Gave him a boatload of money, too.
Mm-hmm.
He got paid, which I'm not all that upset about, quite frankly. I mean, you got to spend the money, right?
You did. Well, yeah. Again, when...
We called it.
Yeah.
We called the contract, but we knew they were going to overspend on somebody. And I'm sure that there are Bulls fans out there. Hey, Jabari Parker's been hurt. He's that gross part two, and he's that bad to bear. Whatever.
Whatever.
Give the guy a chance, at least.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like Derrick Rose, where he was MVP and then fell off the face of the earth.
Right.
Completely different. It's apples and oranges. This is a kid that's, he's a Chicago kid. Had some injury problems, yes, granted, I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But give him a chance to play. Show what he can do.
Right.
Right? Like, don't just crap all over him right off the jump. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a super big problem with the matter of fact, I'm kind of excited to see what he can do. Because I don't think he ever got to show it with the Bucks, just simply because of his injuries and stuff like that.
Right.
Let's see what he can do here.
Yeah, and the makeup of that team. I mean, I don't really know that he could have gotten showcased the way that right. he's going to have to.
I know there was a lot of Bucks fans who were not happy with him signing. The Bucks not even trying to match it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, but what does that tell you?
Well, I mean that, but the Bulls just paid him so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks aren't going to match that.
No.
They got to pay for Giannis, man. Giannis ain't cheap.
No.
Come on now.
Come on. Yeah. All right, man. Well, tell me the new starting five for the Bulls.
All right. So if we start numerically, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Chris Dunn at the one. Zach LaVine at the two. Justin Holiday probably at three. But the Denzel Valentine could get in there but Denzel Valentine sucks.
He does.
He's just not good.
No, at basketball.
No, yeah, I'm sure he's a fine person.
Right?
But he sucks.
Yeah.
Markkanen at the four and then Robin Lopez at the five until Carter's ready, right?
Yeah. Which hopefully is going to be sooner than later.
Yeah, because let him play. The difference does it make?
Right.
I mean, you could be, but in the East now.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's Boston, obviously.
Right.
But I mean, if you can get any kind of starting, if you can finish 500, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. But
so,
Indiana looked pretty formidable last year.
They did.
And the Bucks.
Right.
Not.
Yeah, but we took their secret weapon from them. Ha ha.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I don't think we did that.
No.
No, we didn't do that.
Yeah. With the Bucks not matching, it just makes me wonder.
I mean, it could like. Could come down to they have to just pay Giannis. They're saving up money to pay Giannis.
Yeah.
Which which he can make the most money with the Bucks. That's the way the NBA is skewed to for the best player of every team to stay on that team. Like, that's just kind of how the NBA works. They can make the most money with that team. So
since Chris Dunn did his Duncan Keith, has he performed at all?
Not to my knowledge.
Right? No. I don't know.
I mean, he's got 13, he averaged 13 points, 4 boards, and 6 assists.
Okay.
Which isn't anything to write home about.
No, but before that happened, he was really starting to take off. I mean, like, he was kind of turning into something, and then all of a sudden, dunk, and then...
You face plant, and you become a mixture of Adam Eaton and Duncan Keith, yes. And that's it, man.
Yeah.
But, again, there's cautious optimism.
Okay. Right?
Because...
Hey, who were you so in love with in the summer league?
Oh, no, it was an article in The Athletic about Wendell Carter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That he was playing at both ends of the court. Robin Lopez is like, oh, he's almost ready.
Okay. Which is
not something you want to say about the guy who's going to take your job.
Right. Well, yeah, but...
in a way. But
hey.
He's a vet. I don't think he gets...
yeah.
As long as the paychecks keep coming.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
They're going to clear.
Yeah. And the Bulls, again, the Bulls could feasibly make the playoffs. That could be a thing.
Right. And this was a question posed to us by associate producer Bill. He goes, why should I care?
Right.
Right.
No,
I mean.
And he also posed the question of guys our age.
Right.
Are we Bulls fans or were we Jordan fans?
You know, though, that whole team was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Horace Grant,
Pippen. Oh, my God. And, down to, yeah.
And Steve Kerr. And
Bobby Hanson.
Bobby Hanson. And sure. Good news.
Love good news.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know a guy that was a ball boy for that team.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Rings?
No rings. But,
really?
Yeah. But he's got tons of memorabilia.
Yeah.
Tons of memorabilia.
Okay, that's cool. But that's still dickish when, his face from The Score.
Yeah.
That does the bad Harrison Ford impression from The Fugitive.
Schuster, no.
No. He got fired from the Cubs.
Grody.
Yeah, Mark Grody. Yeah. He's got a fucking ring.
I know.
There's just things in this world. Ball that boys right, are too. Supposed to get stuff like that, man. Yeah, that's like part of it.
I know. But it just didn't happen. So
okay. Well.
But he's got tons of memorabilia. He brought in a Jordan basketball signed by Jordan. He didn't have to do that, but he did. I just wanted to see it.
Right.
Like, hey, any chance you can bring that in? He's like, yeah, sure. I have it in a plastic, cube case thing that you see most basketballs in like that. And he brought it in for me. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Right.
Right. He's got shoes from everybody. And believe it or not, Pippen tipped him.
Really?
Yeah. Took care of the ball boy. Everybody took care of the ball boys.
Okay.
They all got, cash from everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But
so you think Scotty gets a bad rap or?
No, I don't
think so. Don't think so?
No. I think he took, when it comes to his professional, like taking care of the ball boys is pretty important because they do a lot of work.
Right.
Like they don't just sit there and
fetch play with your
basketballs
balls.
Or whatever.
Right.
They do a lot of work. I got stories, but I won't reveal them
yet. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't tell you on the podcast. In person, though. After the podcast.
All right.
While I'm doing some post editing, we can. I'll chat.
People are going, wait a minute, that's going to be the only exciting thing on here.
I can't. I just wanted secrecy, at least public secrecy, so to speak.
All right.
Yeah.
So, we think the Bulls may be a playoff team, but who cares?
I'm not saying they are a playoff team.
No, I'm just saying they might be.
If the pieces all fall, if all the pieces come together, as Wani would say. Ah.
Rah.
Oh, God, pieces falling together, all coming to place. Oh. Yeah, they could be. I mean, but it's the East. Like, the East sucks, like, again, you've got Boston, Toronto, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, Indiana, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. They're just not good. It's not a good conference.
No.
No. Because, I mean, again, if you can go 500, man, even a game or two under 500, you could still feasibly make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know? That's just facts.
And
it's
I don't know what's better at this point as far as a rebuild goes because, I don't know. I'm kind of... over Fred.
Yeah. Yeah. What has he shown?
And I got to think that if Fred goes, Gar is done, right?
I think if
I think Pax is high enough on the chain that...
Yeah, I think if they're going to make any moves,
mm-hmm.
Michael Reinsdorf is going to fire everybody.
Really?
Yeah. He's just going to scorched earth.
Top down.
Gar Pax both gone. Hoiberg gone. He's just going to start from scratch.
Wow.
I mean, because they've had their chance.
Well, yeah, but they've had their chance chances. For... Right, yeah.
Right. And Reinsdorf, too, we talked about this on an earlier podcast. He's loyal to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think he has to make... Michael Reinsdorf has to make the hard decision when push comes to shove at the end of the season. If they're a 30-win team, you just have to blow it up.
Well, we saw what happened with the other team at the United Center when the old man gave up control.
Yeah. Well, the old man died.
Well... Well, that's what exactly. That's what it takes.
It may happen again. You know, Jerry's not a young man.
Yeah, and I don't think that Jerry cares that much about basketball.
Although I've seen Jerry in person recently.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah, he looked good.
Well, yeah, at the Sox game.
I had to do like a triple take after he got off the elevator. He was going to either his office or the food area called the Bard's Room.
Okay.
And door closes and I asked the elevator attendant, because they have him there, the guys that run the elevator. I was like, was that Jerry Reinsdorf just now? And he's like, oh, yeah. That was Jerry.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. All right. Cool. Good to see him. But he looked great. He looked great health. He didn't look pale or... He didn't even look old, really all that old. Huh. He is that old. But sure. He didn't look all that old in person. He looked great. He looked in great health. And
wow.
Yeah.
So you think transfusing fetus blood
could be,
or...
Could be.
Okay.
Could be going to the Guatemalan stem cell place. If you want to see,
have him save me a
if
seat.
You want to see a hilarious clip on the YouTubes, look up Family Guy stem cell.
Yeah, all right.
It is. It's hilarious.
Well, seeing Jerry Reinsdorf, Joe, we're happy for you.
Yeah. Please be happy for me.
NBA in general.
Yeah.
What are we thinking?
There's been a couple more moves. I'm still surprised, and maybe I missed it, but... I touched on this 2 weeks ago on the podcast. Clint Capella is still out there, I think. I don't believe he's been signed. And that's pretty much after that, all the NBA issues are done, except for it's going to be interesting offseason to see what happens in LA now that LeBron's there.
Yeah.
Because, again, we said this also, or we keep referring to older podcasts, but I believe he said as part of the negotiations that whole Ball family fiasco has got to go.
Yes.
It hasn't yet.
The circus needs to leave town.
And even a new chapter was added to the fiasco when Papa Ball said that LeBron will be better because of his son on the Lakers. Made me laugh my balls off. Like, are you serious, brother? He's not that good. He's good, but he ain't that good, you know? And Kawhi Leonard got traded.
Oh yeah,
we forgot. I don't believe that. I believe that happened.
Yeah,
post podcast last time.
yes, that's correct.
He got traded to the Raptor.
Heartless in Toronto.
Heartless in Canada.
There you go. That's right.
I still say he would have made a perfect Nick.
Oh, but it would have been a beautiful marriage.
But now, I mean, no shot he signs back with Toronto. I wouldn't think. So there you go. I mean, he can still make the most money with Toronto. That's the way the NBA is set up. But no guarantees that he's going to stay in Toronto. No shat. No shat, my friend. I'm sure they'll find some way to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was lost in a hole looking for Capella, and you're right.
He has not.
No. They have him listed as the last team he played for is Houston. Not and like the Bulls it's not like
sign him. But I mean, it's just curious that he's still out there.
And there's money out there.
There's money to be had.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they're just know the Rockets are going to match. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like what the Bulls did with Levine, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think it mattered in hindsight after it all happened and they interviewed Pax. Pax, like, that was going to be close to the number anyway.
It was $4 or $5 million off from what they originally offered him.
And did they overpay him
based
on what they were intended to pay him?
Right. No, not probably that much.
Not. Probably not enough to make a big difference, you know?
Exactly.
But it'll be an interesting, all the spotlight's on LA now, man. Like, that's the circus that are the Laker.
Yeah, and then we've talked about this before, too, that LeBron didn't go there without other plans in place. So yeah, it may not be next year.
Right.
But the following year, somebody's going to be coming there that's going to make that a legit situation. You think Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he only signed a one-year deal with the Warriors.
Really?
Yeah. So the window is going to close on that. They're going to win it again this year, and then that's it.
Huh.
Well, maybe not that's it, but I mean, that team is going to be not at first. I mean, even at first, they're going to be good. But mm-hmm. I mean, man, come when Boogie comes knocking.
Psh, right.
That team could not lose a game.
Wow.
It's possible.
I still, and I need to let this go, but I go back to that first round of the playoffs, man, when they didn't have Steph.
Yes. I mean, Steph's,
that team.
Steph's the straw that stirs the drink.
He's the gel, yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. But barring injury.
Yeah.
There's nobody's going to beat him. Nobody. Lakers, anybody. Rockets, now Shaq. If Boogie's back at 100%.
Right, which we think probably after the All-Star game.
January, February, yeah, after the All-Star game. Yeah, that was the intended return all along. That's why he really only made half a season salary. Right? That's why he signed for $5.5 million or whatever he signed for. It wasn't much. It was much below market value for someone of his talent. Simply because
to sign somebody that's hurt.
He wanted to earn it.
Yeah.
It was gonna be an earn it kind of deal. And he will.
Well,
he'll make his money. As long as he can prove he's healthy, he'll make a shit ton of money next year. A shit ton. Even though he's kind of weird. It is funny because he's fat. It's not that he's, you know, he's not necessarily a problem, right? He's not run our test.
No.
Or met a world peace, whatever. He's not that guy. He's not Rodman. He has opinions. He'll let you know about him.
Right.
But he's not.
He doesn't need a handler.
Right. No. He's not that off the rails yet. Maybe his next big contract he might be, but I think with the Warriors, he's just going to head down, do his business, get the things he needs to get done stats-wise to make the money he's going to make in 2019. That's almost guaranteed what's going to happen.
And that's what a winning situation will do for you, Joe. I mean, look at questionable character cats that went to the Patriots.
Right, and then...
And, yeah.
And they were talking about this on ESPN on the way down here. Funny you bring up the Patriots. They're talking about Malcolm Butler and how no one has made a single reference to him all off season. No one.
Wow.
Not a single Patriots player. Not Danny Amendola, who's no longer on the Patriots, has never made one statement about it. Belichick hasn't said a word about it. Nothing on Malcolm Butler. And we still don't know what happened.
Right.
Why he didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they go, oh, well, because it was a football decision. Bullshit. No fucking way was it a football decision.
Right.
Get out of here with that.
And what was the speculation? That he was smoking weed with his family? The
speculation is that he was smoking weed.
Yeah.
But it's got to be more than that.
It's got to be more than that.
Because that can't be the reason why you wouldn't even mention him or talk about him.
Well, I mean, after it happened, there were several tweets that came out talking about how he got done dirty.
Yeah.
But then that's dried up. I mean, any defense of him is gone as well.
Right.
So
no one's speaking about him at all.
Right.
Which, you know, makes me wonder what exactly did he do?
Right.
That it was so bad that he didn't play even a snap.
Right.
Not one snap.
Right. Aaron Hernandez would have started, Joe.
Oh, jeez. You're right.
Is that too soon?
You know, not too soon. Okay. He's dead. You can speak ill of him all you like.
All right.
You know, he was a complete jag.
Fair enough. Mention.
Real jag. Jag bag, as Pappy would say.
Oh, Pappy.
Aaron Hernandez. Blah.
Blah. All right. Let's... Hey, I guess we kind of transitioned into the NFL. Why don't you tell me about the last two holdouts that we have.
So, Sam Darnold with the Giants, I believe is correct, right? Mm-hmm. And our own Roquan Smith. Mm. Now...
Wah, 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 wah. Look,
here's the way it works in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Draft pick salaries are slotted. You're going to make X.
Right.
You're not going to make a penny more than X. If you're drafted here, you're going to make this. That's what was agreed to. The NFL, NFLPA. The NFLPA got tired of all these people making $70 million and not seeing the field once. Right? So then they put a salary cap, rookie salary cap, And so whatever number the Bears drafted, seventh, seventh, sixth or seventh, whatever their pick was, whatever slot was, Roquan Smith's going to make X. Now, here's the reason why, at least as of when we turn the recorders on today, he is not signed. There's contract language, okay, that says when you get your money. That's the kicker here. Not what you get.
Right.
When you get it. And here's the example that I read. According to, this is back because Joey Bosa had the same issue last year. He was the last one to sign.
Mm-hmm.
They have the same agent.
Yeah. Well.
So Roquan Smith's going to get the same thing.
And it's not Scott Boras.
It is not Scott Boras. So here's the way it works, the way I understand it. Let's say, hypothetically, $5 million is the number that he makes a year. He gets to year four, he gets cut. He signs with another team for $2 million. Okay? The Bears are on the hook. The way the contracts are, 99.9% the way the rookie contracts are written, the Bears would be on the hook for $3 million of that $5 million total, right?
Mm-hmm.
The team that picked him up pays two, the Bears pay three. The way the contract was rewritten for Joey Bosa is that in that scenario, he gets the year four, he gets cut, he signs with another team for $2 million. The Bears would have to pay him the full $5 million they were going to pay him either way. That's the holdup. It's that language in the contract.
Okay.
It's not the money amount, because that's set. There's nothing that Roquan Smith, the Bears, or anybody can do about it. But it's the when he gets paid. That is the holdup.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, the thing that concerns me about that is Danny Trevathan being down with a hamstring.
Right.
And Roquan not signing.
Right.
Our linebacker core looks pretty Sam Acho-y.
Awfully Acho-y. And actually, as this hits the airwaves, Jay, it's I believe the Bears play tonight. As this hits the air.
This is the Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game. Which is normally on Sunday night, but we moved it to Thursday night. So when this drops next week, we're going to have Bears football.
Did they play this game last year, Joe?
They did not.
And why was that?
Too painty. Too slippery. Basically, they sprayed the field with the decorative NFL logos and shit like that, right?
But right.
It was so hot that the paint melted.
And plus,
the AstroTurf, FieldTurf, whatever, became too slick.
They did like a ceremony out there first, and it completely tore the field up.
Yeah,
and they were frantically trying to shovel the old tires in there to try to even the field out and all of it.
Yeah.
And we're watching this happen and going, "Is this game going to happen?" And they finally called it after like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
either both teams just walked off. The coaches were like, "We're not going to play on this and get somebody hurt." Can you imagine? It was the Packers and. I don't even care. The Packers got screwed, so it was great.
Right, right. I agree with you 100%. But, that's another reason, I think, is they're hoping the weather is going to be better. I don't know if that's true or not, whatever. But I don't know what moving it earlier would make it better.
Yeah.
But anyway. But anyway, when this drops, the Bears will be playing football tonight.
Nice.
Yeah. And hopefully not getting hurt. That's all I care about.
Right.
I don't care if they win. I don't care if they lose. I don't care if they look bad doing it.
Yeah.
Do not get anybody hurt. And that's it.
Typically, I mean, I can't remember the last Hall of Fame game I actually sat down and watched. It's less significant than preseason. I mean, you're not even going to run stuff that you would normally run anyway.
Right.
So, Do you dress Mitch?
They're running like 5% of their plays.
Does he play a series and then come out?
Yeah, that's what usually happens.
Okay.
Is they'll play the quarterback a series in which he hands off the ball three times.
There we go.
And then they punt. And then he goes back to the sidelines, takes his helmet off, puts his hat on, and then enjoys the rest of the game.
Right.
That's my guess is what's
going on. And we watch guys that are going to pump gas.
Yep.
In two months.
Will not be in the league in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Maybe even a week. A day. Who knows?
I guess that's true.
But that's what you're going to see. Do not expect high quality NFL football. You're watching it because it's football.
Right.
Any football because you've been without for so long.
Yeah. And that's true.
I've never been that guy, by the way.
Really? You're a baseball fan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, baseball and hockey.
And so even, like, but I was going to say.
But the team that I love the most is the Bears.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
No, absolutely.
Like, that's the game. That's every Sunday I'm on tilt for 3 hours watching the Bears game.
But, and that's where that is. I mean, that's where that lives. Like, correct.
It lives on Sunday at noon.
And when the White Sox are shitty, right. You can still appreciate baseball.
Correct.
So
I can watch any baseball game.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. But am I going to sit and watch after I watch a
Cleveland, Bears Seattle
game, the emotion that I go through watching a Bears game and then turn around and watch Cleveland, Seattle at the 3 o'clock? No. Sunday Night Football?
Mm-mm. No. I got nothing for it.
No, I can't.
No.
I may have it on the background, like when I'm doing other things, but it's not something that I stop, watch for 3 hours. No, absolutely not.
And here's something that doesn't relate to anything really, but Bears Sunday noon is what I need.
Yes.
I don't like Bears 100%. Sunday 3. I don't like 100%. Bears Sunday 7. I don't like Bears Thursday. Well, I don't like Bears Monday. I don't like.
Night.
I know.
Bears at 7.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I know.
Bears
It just noon. Feels wrong.
Bears noon is great because. You watch them at noon. You're done.
Right.
You got the rest of your Sunday.
You sure do.
To do stuff.
Yeah.
Bears 7. Sad Christmas.
It is sad Christmas.
Yeah, I don't like. I don't even like 3 o'clock Bears.
I don't like. Well, I hate all Thursday. So that.
Yeah, Thursday night football should not exist.
Right. And then even when the Bears are on Monday, and maybe it's because the Bears are horrible on Monday night.
Yes.
But yeah, just no.
I agree. I want Sunday noon. Mm-hmm. And if every game was Sunday noon, I'm 100% cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As am I.
That's when football should be played. Sunday noon. That's it. And then keep it.
And then the West Coast can play at 3.
Yes. Correct. Right. And good luck with all that. Right. Unless it's my fantasy team or somehow is impacted.
Yeah.
Even then.
Yeah. Well, you just watch the ticker.
Yeah. That's it, man.
You don't need to see the game for that stuff. Just
watch the updates on my phone.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I need it for. I'll watch the Bears. That's really it. I just absorb just about every sport that I kind of marginally, like the NBA is the same way with me. Mm-hmm. I just kind of absorb it by working where I work and the talk going on around me about it. I read The Athletic. It's not something that's the focus of my sports viewing time.
Now, we're going to have, as we mentioned at the top, we're going to have another college football hit.
We will shortly.
Today.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. For a good deal of the time you've been at Stats,
yep,
college football has been a big part of that.
Correct.
Did it ruin it for you?
No.
Okay.
The reason why I'm saying no,
mm-hmm.
Didn't like it in the first place.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I'm not a huge college football fan.
Okay.
But at where I work, it's about the mechanic of it. It's not about...
Sure.
You don't need to love it to do it.
Right.
Like any job, right?
Right.
But I love the mechanic of it. Like the work that I have to do for college football, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to miss it now that I'm not doing it anymore.
Got it.
But I tell this story a lot to my friends and everything, but like before I became a manager, when I became I was just a college football coordinator, I'd work 10, 11, 12 hours on a Saturday. And then I'd try to get to the bar right before they close, down a couple of beers before I went home. And I'd walk in the bar and they'd go, hey, did you see that great game, that great Stanford game? And I'd go, nope. Nope. I can tell you I loaded the box score in 10 minutes. I'll tell you that. I can tell you our reporter sucked for that game or he was great for that game. Like that's the mechanic of it.
Yeah.
That I'm going to miss greatly.
Okay.
But not the actual games. Nah, I was never really I was a Sunday guy. Well, being a Bears fan.
Right.
There was Northwestern when I was not even Illini growing up.
Yeah. And see, and I guess I'm glad you said that because that's where I was going next is I'm wondering if going to schools that weren't like football centric.
Yeah.
Being Northern and Illinois State.
Well, Northern.
I mean,
they're the Cowboys.
They got better.
Yeah. I mean, back then they were terrible at everything.
Right.
But since I've not gone there for obviously a long time.
Right.
But, 25 years probably.
Wow.
But they've improved greatly since then in football at least.
Absolutely.
It's a football school now. Before it was just a school.
Right.
Right. There wasn't really anything they could hang their hat on sports wise.
Right.
But
it's like you said, it's a football school now, but still the tradition isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, like everybody's all American. Yeah. The coach Bill,
right.
As you well know, went to University of Iowa right. And people start driving from Western Iowa on like Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah. No. To get there and with their mailboxes on the side of their RVs and stuff and, you know, tailgate all night long. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah. It's more, but when you're that diehard of a fan of a team, even for the Bears, for me,
right.
It's more about the experience of the whole experience than just the game itself.
Okay.
Like watching it with my friends, watching it with people that I know are big Bears fans as I am. And we sit there and we look at each other and go, what the fuck did he just do? Why did he just do that? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about, it is about the game to a certain extent, but like watching a Bears game at home for me is nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Because I have all these things and stuff I want to say and da, 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 da. And there's nobody to say it to because I'm sitting there on the couch by myself watching the game. That's why I try to go somewhere to watch the game so I can be around other people that are into it as much as I am.
Right. And not yell at the TV and kick the dog. And,
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
No.
Especially the dog.
Especially the dog. I got a little dog. I'd hurt him if I kicked him. It hurt him real bad.
All right, man. I kind of feel like we've done short shrift to the Bear. What I mean, we basically only talked about.
I mean, the camp's open.
Right.
It's been open. When this hits, it'll be open for almost 2 weeks.
Right.
And as we stated last time, not going. You're not going.
No.
Training camp.
And
standing in the heat.
No, but what I've read about it is Mitch is really accurate.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
Yes.
Okay.
He's been on target. It's there's somebody, I forget who it is. And again, this is, I talked about this last podcast where I should copy and paste things so I remember who said it. You cannot take pictures at Bears practice. Like if you're a member of the media, you cannot take a picture of what's happening.
That's correct.
But this one guy, and again, I forget who it is, so my apologies if you're the person doing it, but draws pictures. Like,
does he really?
Like they look like 8-year-old pictures.
That's outstanding.
It is fantastic.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I just got to remember who it is.
And there's something else. I mean, and this might have been Fox practice specific, but you couldn't tweet anything out during practice.
Yeah, that's probably the case. Then it's more of a Bears. This might be more of a pace rule.
Oh, okay.
Right. Maybe not me. I don't think I put that rule in. I was too busy yelling at everybody.
And not telling anything to any reporter.
So, John Fox, what color is the sky? Well, you know, it kind of depends. it depends on the sun and the clouds. And God, I'm going to the Johnny Ace. Sorry, my apologies. At any rate. Yeah, but that you get the picture.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yeah, you're right. I don't think they can tweet like a summary.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically while you're on the field watching Danny Trevathan fall over and grab his hamstring, you cannot tweet
that. I'll be fine.
Oh, got a hammy. I'll be fine. Be flying around. Oh. Oh. Oh, my God. So one thing I want to touch on real quick.
Yeah.
Over the last, I don't know, year roughly.
Okay.
You've been Mr. Oasis.
I have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think it's partially my fault, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was my fault. But lately, like the last 2 weeks, I've been Mr. REM.
Yeah. You mentioned that.
Oh my God, dude. Because there's this documentary they put out because the 25th anniversary of Automatic for the People was last November.
Okay.
October, November. And I didn't even see this on YouTube, but there was an official little mini documentary put out about the recording of it.
Oh.
That the REM made 25 years later. Like, Bill Berry's not in it, but.
Well.
Milsey and Buck and Stipe are in it.
Okay.
And it was just fascinating watch. Those things are always fascinating watches. But I did take something away from it.
Okay.
They write songs like we write songs, which is kind of cool in that all the music's done. Everything is done musically.
Mm-hmm.
Then the vocals are added. Then they write the lyric. Then Michael doesn't write. He has the idea of how the melody in his head's going to go.
Like, right.
I think we both have that when we record stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But no lyrics are written really until the music's done, which is kind of cool.
It is cool.
I'm like, huh? Okay, so it's not outside of the norm of doing it the way that we do it. I thought that was cool.
No, that is cool.
Yeah, and Michael Stipe said the hardest song he had to write was.
Shiny Happy People?
No. No. Man on the Moon.
That was the hardest one.
I think it was Man on the Moon.
To listen to.
And they asked him about Man on the Moon, right?
Like, okay.
All that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? And he goes, well, here's the story behind
Here's the
that.
Thing.
He goes, well, Nirvana's album, right? Like Kurt Cobain would yell, yeah, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? He goes, I just wanted to have a song with more yas on it than Kurt Cobain. So he did, you know, Man on the Moon, where every other line is yeah, right?
And they were friends. I mean, he wasn't.
It wasn't a dig.
Yeah.
No. It was right.
In fact, right before Cobain, well, you can think
died.
Before he left this mortal coil.
Yes.
They had plans of doing a project together.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, and like he was one of the only people that Cobain respected.
Yeah.
Stipe.
And of course, on YouTube, the kind of fun part of YouTube is the rabbit holes, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you see that documentary, and mm-hmm. then, oh, here's another one that came out 5 years later. And like, oh, okay. Here's another one that came out in 93. And here's another one that came out in 2001. And blah, 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 right?
Right.
So I'm watching other documentaries, and they talk about Michael talks about when Bill Berry left.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, was he sick when he left?
No.
He got sick later.
No, he got sick before.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
He was sick when he left.
Well, he wasn't sick. He had an aneurysm.
Oh, I thought he had a brain tumor.
No.
Okay.
He had a brain aneurysm.
All right.
On tour, on stage.
Okay.
In like Belgium or Berlin. It starts with a B. Either Belgium or Berlin. I forget which one. But they got him to the hospital and, you know, cleared it, whatever. But that near-death experience kind of shook him.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that he didn't want to go through being a rock star anymore.
Huh.
So he quit. He's like, I'm done. I'm going to go be a farmer. Which is what he is. He's a farmer now. He just quit.
Okay.
Just up and quit. Not for health reasons.
Yeah.
Not because it was a danger to him. Not any of that stuff. He just was like, I've reassessed my life. I'm going to go farm. So then they became a three-piece.
Yeah. Right? With a drum machine, right?
They had a studio drummer.
Did they?
There was some stuff had drum machines on it, but yeah.
Okay.
And Michael's like, that kind of shook me to the core. Like, it really messed me up.
Mm-hmm.
Going from a four to a three, losing a guy.
Yeah, it's like losing a leg.
It's like losing a brother.
Yeah,
a limb. Right.
Sure.
Because there's four big limbs to the band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a limb falling off.
Right.
And even when you watch their live stuff from back when they were a three-piece,
mm-hmm.
it's not the same. It just isn't. It just, you could tell that
everybody gets older.
Yeah.
And
yeah. But I mean, the vibe,
okay.
I guess, is what I'm talking about. The vibe completely changed.
The biggest bands at that time,
U2
and REM, I would argue would be the two biggest. I mean, Nirvana right. later,
yeah. Yeah.
But even U2 from 83 to, you know, 94.
Right.
That's different. And all four are there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's, you grow up.
Yeah. There's no saying that it would have been any different if Bill Berry had stuck around.
Right.
They still could have gone off in these tangents. But I'm more talking about live and the energy from the drummer, basically. I mean,
okay.
I'm not saying you got to be a metal drummer by any stretch of the imagination.
Or a heavy metal drummer.
Correct. I sincerely miss those heavy metal bands, Jay. it's about, if you just watch Bill Berry play drums. He just fucking whacks everything.
Yeah.
Like he just has, he's a strong, loud player.
Yeah.
He's not finesse. He's not like Glenn Cochy of Wilco, who's kind of finesse-y,
right.
jazzy.
Yeah.
Bill Berry's a rock and roll drummer, man. And
right.
He hits them.
From the Bonham School.
Can you make the drums louder? Hit them harder. And the drummer they had, who was competent, but I mean, he just didn't. And there's people, Wilco fans, when Coomer left,
mm-hmm.
right? That's when they stopped listening to Wilco because they didn't like the whole.
Yeah.
There are people in this corner, maybe over sitting over here, that prefer the older Wilco.
Correct.
To the newer Wilco.
But what's funny about, and I'm glad you mentioned Tom because he's raising his hand.
Yep. No, you can't go to the bathroom yet. We're not done.
He mentioned that he likes Tom Petty's last drummer. And there was a lot of people that bailed out when Stan Lynch got let go.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean.
And then you go back and you hear all the stories when they made Damn the Torpedoes.
Oh, yeah.
how bad that Jimmy Iovine thought
he
was.
Yeah.
And he thought he was terrible. But he kept trying to get session drummer after session drummer. Petty wasn't having any of it.
Right. But which to his credit is great, because Petty knew the vibe. He knew the feel. He knew what it needed then.
Right.
But Stan Lynch never claimed to want to do studio stuff ever.
No.
He wanted to be in a Florida bar band and get laid and do as much coke as possible.
Yep.
And he wanted to be a rock and roll star.
That's it. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
And finally one day he just went, okay, I'm done. That's it. And they went and got, I don't know the guy's name, but he's been with them forever.
Right. Well, no, they kind of fired him. I mean, and it happened around the time of Full Moon Fever. Right.
I'm talking about his replacement.
Oh.
The big black guy.
The big black guy?
Yeah.
No, he was with him till the end.
No, I know. Oh. I'm saying that he's the guy that I...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I appreciate his drumming style.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good drummer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first, like, I held out the, Stan Lynch, you know what? Yeah. This guy's a much better drummer. And over time, that comes out.
And it came through, like, seeing Wilco live.
Yeah.
When they go to do the older stuff, and you see Coachy not necessarily hit him as hard, but add that little off grace note somewhere, right?
Right.
Somewhere on a cymbal or on a... And it's like, and it makes the song that much better, in my opinion.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah, there's a dissenting opinion in the room.
He is not happy.
He's not happy right now.
Sorry. That's just how I feel about it. Hit them harder.
Exactly.
So we're going to...
Yeah, no, let's hit...
the old Sports Rubac from the Musico.
Right.
We got a CFB hit to talk about, man.
We do.
Talk about the SEC.
You're going to do an SEC deep dive.
Yeah, man. So here we go with the CFB hit of the week. All right, welcome to It's That Podcast, CFB hit number 2. And back on the line is associate producer Bill. Say hi to everybody, Bill.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are we doing?
We're doing great. Welcome back.
We're doing fantastic.
So as promised, we promised on our last CFB hit that we were going to hit up some SEC, because that's the most dominant conference, really, if you think about it, other than the Big Ten maybe. But so what are some, just off the top of your head, what are some teams, obviously, you know, there's the usual, you know, Georgia, Alabama, da-da-da, whatever, or Auburn or whatever. But what are some teams you think that are could be contenders ish, right? Because we know that the top three are pretty big deals, but
sure.
What about like some of the middle teams? Second?
Are we putting Kentucky in there? Vanderbilt? How are we doing?
Like,
probably not Vanderbilt.
Well, I think the more interesting fight for second is in the East. Because Florida's in the East, South Carolina's in the East, Tennessee's in the East. Florida and Tennessee are more traditional powers. Mm-hmm. They both have new coaches. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later, I think.
For sure.
A lot of people think South Carolina will be the second best team in the East. I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later, too. But I think it might be Florida. The bottom part of the East is kind of whatever, you know, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Tennessee, whatever.
Missouri's in there too. Yeah.
In the West, I don't know that there is a fight for second place. Auburn, I think, is clearly the second best team in that division.
Right.
I think they're closer to Alabama than they are the rest of the division.
Yeah, and in that division, I'd be curious to see Mississippi State, because McElwain left for his basically dream job, right, Florida. So I'm wondering
Coach Mullen left.
Or Mullen, sorry, I said the wrong name. Sorry, Mullen. Yeah. So I'm wondering how much that's going to affect Mississippi State and in their future endeavors this year. So.
Yeah, I think that again, we talk about new coaches. I think that's a really good hire. I think he's going to do well there.
Yeah.
The problem is that division is just loaded. Yeah. I mean, you can be a really good football team in that division and be fourth. You know,
and be like 8-5.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So I think Coach Moorhead's going to do a really good job there. He was the offensive coordinator at Penn State for a while, last few years. He really is a big part of that program getting going. People have kind of lost track of this a little bit, but, you know, Coach Franklin at Penn State for a while there, they were talking about getting rid of him.
Yeah.
And you know, they weren't sure he was the right guy. The first couple of years, they kind of sputtered through. He changed the staff a little bit. Coach Moorhead was a big part of that. And then, you know, they went crazy, crazy successful.
Sure.
So I think he's going to do real well in Mississippi. Now, he's not a Southerner. I don't know that he has much history recruiting down there. So they'll have to iron that out and get talent on the roster. Right. There's some there now. So that'll be kind of an interesting fight for third, I guess, on that side.
And I'd have to double
check. Alabama and Auburn are far and away the class of that side.
And I'd have to double check. Ole Miss last year was on probation. So I'm wondering if they're off probation for this year. That I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, I think it's tiered. Like I said, I'm not sure about this, but I think they still are on some sort of probation or under sanctions.
Right.
Just not as many.
Right.
And I do know that they removed the interim tag from the coach down there. Matt Luke.
Right.
Was the interim coach. And they've made him the head coach now. Now, some people think that he's going to be the head coach until they're officially off all the sanctions because no one will take the job.
Right, of course.
But he's going to take a job that's got
sanctions on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So to ask another question, perennial powerhouses that are on the downside right now, so teams like Tennessee, Arkansas. Yep.
I'd put A&M in there as well. I mean, since they moved to the SEC.
Do they have hope? Are they set up like the American League East now, where it's basically, you know, in baseball, it's the Yankees and the Red Sox and everybody else?
No, I think they have hope because, you know, what's a little different about college football compared to baseball is that they share much more of the revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, Tennessee is going to have the money. It's really about whether they spend it well.
Right. I mean, they don't even have the money. You know, I mean, the Neyland Stadium is what holds 120,000, right. Something like that, right?
Yeah. Tennessee is going to have money. It's just whether or not they spend it well. They got a new coach, Jeremy Pruitt. He was a defensive coordinator at Fuller State when they won the national title. He was defensive coordinator last year at Bama. They won the national title. So it's just a question of whether or not he can, you know, be the head coach, run the whole operation, and, right. You know, can they get enough talent on the roster, you know, to get that done? It won't be a resources question,
no,
you know,
not.
drawing it back to baseball, you know,
right.
You know, that they share the TV money equally.
So there's no Orioles in the SEC, you're telling me.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now some of them might be run as poorly as the Orioles. But,
correct.
FAIL.
That's right.
Yeah. But I mean, so Vanderbilt gets as much money from the TV contracts as Alabama
does. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Now they don't sell as many t-shirts. Nope. They don't have the donors kick in as much.
Right.
They don't sell as many tickets.
The cars aren't as nice, you're saying, and the houses and the jobs for mom and dad.
Yeah. They just get a Chevy Malibu. Like that's the car they get.
And you mentioned Texas A&M and I just was looking at, something here dealing with, you know, revenue through all the schools in general, just off on a tangent a little bit. Texas A&M is top five, if not top two.
Oh, yeah.
In athletic department. Top two.
They have crazy donors.
Revenue.
Yeah, their pool of money they have is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. They claimed over $200 million in revenue. Yeah.
I choose not to gig them.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm giving you the upside down gig them at this point.
Tennessee's 11th. You know, you asked about Tennessee. Tennessee's 11th on that list.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you know, so they got the money. It's right. Just a matter of how they spend it well, and that's why, you know, I do think Tennessee eventually will be back. I know Florida will be back. You know, because they've got the money and the
system. But I wouldn't think it'd be a quick fix, though, right? Like, because you have to get the coach, you have to get the system, they have to recruit, they have to do all the things, and a lot of the people they're recruiting, like especially Tennessee,
right?
They're the other SEC schools are recruiting those same kids,
exactly.
From like, yeah, I would from say like Florida exactly right. And Texas,
they've got to go. They have to go out of state more.
Yeah,
I would say the two, you know, most people would say Florida rebounds faster.
Yeah.
Basically because of the recruiting.
Right. I got a bye week question for you. Now,
okay.
Bye in the SEC looks like it starts week 5 and goes to week 10. Who's better off? Are you better off getting it earlier in the season, kind of tweak things, make sure you're going in the right direction and power on? Or do you want it closer to week 10 where you can kind of rest up, lick your wounds, whatever? Or does it matter? Am I just...
You know, I don't know that it matters, and I'm that's kind of a weak answer, but I've only heard weak answers about this question. I've never heard anybody complain about their bye week.
Yeah, exactly. In the NFL,
every coach spins it as, oh, it's a good time for us to have a bye week.
Right. Of course they do.
I've never seen someone go to the mic and go, God damn it.
We want to play this week. Fuck.
You know, so I think it just kind of is what it is. Plus, they can manipulate that by putting a non-conference game in there if they want it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Which they just treat as a bye week.
Sure.
Right.
You know, so when Alabama plays Jackson State or whoever the sacrificial lamb is this year. Let me look that up real quick.
And you've got freshmen in the second quarter?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and related to that, you know, too, that new rule with the red shirts, right? So you can play in four games now and
still maintain your eligibility.
Yep.
Yeah, maintain, not lose that year of eligibility.
Right.
So I think in a lot of those games, you might see even more of the younger kids playing.
Yeah, Alabama has two sacrificial lambs this year.
Yeah.
They have Arkansas State week 2.
Yeah.
And then Citadel, the game before they play Auburn. So there you go. Well, chance to rest your regulars.
Yeah.
That's keep them a little sharp.
The week before. The week before they close with their big one, conference-wide, they take the week off and get the Citadel or whoever it is.
Right. And before I call out Alabama.
I believe they're the only conference that regularly schedules two FCS opponents.
Yeah, like Auburn the week.
And they also only play 8 conference games.
Correct. Which is weird because they have 14 teams in the conference. So.
Yeah.
So not to dog on Alabama, I just looked up Auburn real quick. They have 2. They have Alabama State, first off, worse.
Okay. There you go.
And then they play Liberty before they play Alabama. And Liberty's an FBS school now.
Okay, sure.
Which, I know, I get it. I understand. I get it. They're not an FCS team, though, technically.
Technically. Good for Auburn.
That's right. Good job. Good effort.
Liberty.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. So any other shocks? Do you think like there's one of those top teams could fall? Like, do you think maybe Auburn lost too much in the draft from last year? Do you think?
You know, I took a really close or quick, I shouldn't say close, quickly took a close look at their schedules. And, you know, I don't see it out of those three. Yeah. I think Georgia and Alabama are both favored in every game they play this year.
Yeah,
you know,
quite possibly. I mean, Auburn plays Georgia this year.
Auburn will be favored in all but one or two.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't see it. I really don't.
I mean,
they've got to. I mean, I see that with some of the upper echelon teams and other conferences,
right?
But I just,
yeah, like in the Big Ten to get through the Big Ten season with one loss, that's like an accomplishment. Because the top teams are so good.
Yes, I would argue. Yeah,
you know, but in the SEC, you've got
and they do more crossover stuff too.
For sure.
And again, they play 9 games instead of 8.
Exactly. And they, as a rule, don't play cupcakes. Big Ten, the conference doesn't allow them to play cupcakes.
Right.
So,
well, kind of. Yeah.
I mean, the rules
are a little different for everybody, technically. But
right,
I can hear my old man in my head as we talk about this saying, you know what? You shouldn't be allowed to play, be number one in the Big Ten if you haven't played Michigan or Ohio State in a season.
Right.
You have to play them both. Right. And well, that hardly ever happens. So,
right.
Well, I guess one good thing of the championship games is it does take care of that.
True. Yeah. True. And
I mean,
I just looked up Ohio State's schedule, for example, right?
It's probably pretty good.
It's not bad. They play the first 4 weeks, so they play a Big Ten game in there, but they play Oregon State, week one, they play Rutgers, which is basically a scrub game.
Rutgers
that's two.
Is terrible.
TCU week three, and then Tulane week four.
Yeah. So you got to give them credit for the Oklahoma or for the
Oregon State. Yeah.
You know, you schedule these games a few years out. It's not their fault Oregon State stinks. That's a Pac-10 team.
Right. And Ohio State.
And TCU will be, you know, in a lot of people's top 15.
Right. And that game is at Jerry World, I think.
Yeah.
It's neutral site game.
I think that's right. And people will pick TCU to win that conference.
Yeah.
You know,
and the toughest road game they have, they're going to have two tough ones, at Penn State and at Michigan State. Michigan State should be that tough, but that at Penn State game is going to be crazy. They got Michigan at home. They've got all the cupcakes from the Big Ten are all at home for Ohio State. You would have shocked there. Rutgers, Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, they're all at home.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I know they're on the bounce back, but, you know, even having Nebraska on the schedule.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Steering back to the SEC, I wanted to touch on LSU. Ranked 18, the top 25 that we talked about before. Mm-hmm. Do you see this as a rebound year for them? Just kind of getting on. What do you think?
You know, I think they're kind of stuck in the muck. I which is too bad. I like Coach Orjon. He's a fun guy. Everybody likes, you know, talks about his accent and, you know, his kind of gruff manner. And I like the personalities in the game. But I think they're just kind of stuck. I think they should be worried this year about being passed up by Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with Coach, you know, Jimbo Fisher's the new coach there.
Yep.
They got money to burn at Texas A&M. I'm sure that roster is very talented.
Right.
The state of Texas, all those players. So they should be worried about falling behind Texas A&M in the short term.
Yeah.
And if he can recruit, I really like Coach Moorhead at Mississippi State. Now, LSU will always have a huge recruiting advantage.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
LSU will always have a top 15 class just because you just fall out of bed and find players.
Right. And looking at their schedule, they only play, believe it or not, they play 12 games this year. They only play four road games.
Yes.
And one neutral site game.
Yeah.
So they've got Rice at home. They got Bama at home. They got Mississippi State at home. They have Georgia at home. And that's actually, they play Georgia, then Mississippi State, then Alabama, all at home.
Right. So LSU might be one of those teams where you look at it and their record might be pretty decent. They might be like an 8-win team, 8-4.
Yep.
But you look at the 8-4 and you go, geez, who'd they beat?
Yeah. Louisiana Tech.
Right.
Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah. Arkansas.
Yeah. And there's a lot of schools like that. I don't want to pick on.
Of course. Of course.
But, you know, there's a lot of schools like that. They're 8-4. They're in the middle of their conference.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you look at it and you go, who'd they beat? And I tell you what, a year or another year or two of that, and he'll be under a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
He's under pressure now.
Yeah.
They'll be looking to see who's next.
Right.
Now, before we move along, I just look at this five-week stretch for Tennessee.
Yeah.
They get Florida, Georgia, Auburn, and Alabama, and then South Carolina.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah. Well, and see, Tennessee is out, you know, they're in the East, but they're locked in. They're one of the few SEC, like their crossover, one of their crossovers every year because of the tradition involved is Alabama.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so they get to play the East and Alabama.
Welcome to the SEC, kid.
Yeah, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's grown man football.
It is. Absolutely grown man football.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, we appreciate you coming on and hitting us up with some CFB knowledge before the season starts.
Okay.
I'm 99% sure, 100% sure probably we'll get you back on once the season starts. There's a little update, see how things are going in the non-conference schedule, some of the big early games, that kind of thing.
Yes, there's some good ones this year.
Yeah. Every year there seems to be some good neutral site, Jerry World, you know, MetLife Stadium, Georgia, Mercedes-Benz Dome, now where the hell it's called, but the one with the bird's nest at the top of it. So,
yeah.
Well, we appreciate you having me on, man.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. Anytime you guys want to talk college football.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Bye. Everybody talking about the All-American.
If the feet don't fly, hold your breath, they count to 10. Everybody's All-American.
That's right. The coach checking in.
I want to thank Bill for jumping on again with us. two podcasts in a row, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
We know it's time consuming and the, you know, the technical glitches that we've had are all fixed. And knocking on wood ferociously to make sure they're all cool. But we hope you enjoy these CFB hits, and we're going to try and do other sports with other people.
Bring in some other guests.
Bring in some other guests now that we have the technology. And we hope that you're going to enjoy them because we're trying to, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Right.
Right. We don't want to have the same stale podcast every time. It's not that our podcasts are stale, but it makes it more exciting for us. It makes it more exciting for you, the listener, to hear different opinions, just mine and Jason's. So got to get the guest list, Chicago. So on that note.
Everything really wrapped up nicely.
That's right, Homer. Everything's really wrapped up nicely. We hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast. You can find us on email first, which I've left out last podcast. So you can email us. I'm Joe at itsthatpodcast.com. Jason is Jason at itsthatpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/itsthatpod. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J, the letter, Sleet Shirley. You can also find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, and also the Podbean app, which we are all big fans of. And yeah, man, so that's it. That's it for this episode of It's That Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time. I am Tempoyani.